This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
God's righteousness is given to us as a gift. And like any gift, you have to decide to receive it. Like any gift, you have to decide this is not something earned. This is not something deserved. This is something received.
God has given us a grace gift to help overcome the limitations of our understanding so that we can receive clear direction. Introducing Grace Life Academy. Grace Life Academy offers unlimited access to hundreds of hours of online teachings from Creflo Dollar. Features like e-courses, study guides, quizzes, and more. To get started on your 30-day free trial, simply text or sign up online by visiting mygracelifeacademy.com.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 through 31. I'm going to read out of the NLT. Each year, I try my best to make sure that I do a series on righteousness because it is the foundation, I believe, to living this grace life and to living by grace, understanding righteousness. And so, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to stay in this series, and then after this series, hopefully we'll be talking about, you know, I believe you have to have a relationship in order to live this life, and we'll be talking about practically how do you develop it, you know. So we're going to we're going to look at understanding the foundation of righteousness. Understanding the foundation of righteousness, because even when I said that, some of you may have, you know, been thinking, well, you know, what's the big deal about righteousness? It's the foundation to this grace life, and how does that work? What does that look like? Well, let's check this out. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31 in NLT. He says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. No, God united us with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made Him, Jesus, to be wisdom itself. So Jesus is wisdom, all right? He didn't have it, He is. For God has made Jesus to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. Christ made us right with God. You didn't become right with God through your own performance. You are right with God. Your stance right now before God is His responsibility. He made you right with God. He made us pure. And watch this, holy. You ask, well, am I holy? He made you holy. Your stance with God, you are righteous, you are holy, and you have access to wisdom itself through Jesus Christ. Now, that's something that's just got to be received. That's something that you've got to say, you know what? Since He made me righteous, then I receive that by declaring and believing I am the righteousness of God, not because of what I've done. I've been made righteous, therefore I am righteous, even though somebody doesn't see me righteous. He sees me righteous, and I am righteous, and I am evolving in my state in righteousness. My stance is already settled. I'm already righteous. My state is now transforming into what He made me. See, He makes you first, and then you become what He makes you. Don't y'all start nothing here this morning. And so he made us righteous. You know, I know it blows the mind of some believers when I say to you, you are holy. But I'm not saying that based on your behaving and what you're doing. I'm saying that you are holy because he made you that way. You can't become something unless he already made you that which you are to be transformed into. You're on the journey towards what he made you. That's your journey. And you've been made righteous. You've been made holy. He has made us pure and holy. And he freed us. He freed us from sin. So you know what I say as a believer? I'm free from sin. I'm free from sin. I've been freed from sin. Jesus has freed me from sin. Jesus has made me righteous, and Jesus has freed me from sin. So part of this Christian life, and really a big part of your faith, a big part of your faith is maintaining the victory that Jesus has obtained. If he made you that way, you maintain it. Maintaining and becoming what you've been made. So if somebody looks at you and got a problem with you saying, I am the righteousness of God, and they say, well, I don't think you're righteous because of how you spoke to me last night. So, oh, forgive me, I am already righteous. I'm just becoming that. You caught me in the middle of the journey. But just because you caught me in the middle of the journey doesn't dismiss what he made. Somebody need to say, I am the righteousness of God. Now notice, it's you are the righteousness of God not because of what you do. You are the righteousness of God because of what he has already done. And the benefit of getting born again is that now you now receive the stance that's finished while your state is becoming what he made you. See, you already know where you're going. My destination is destination righteousness, destination wisdom, destination pure and holy, destination of complete, total freedom. I already know who I am. And so what happens is your life starts demonstrating and shedding the old soulless behavior as you take on what you've been made. Hallelujah. But I am the righteousness of God. Nothing starts until you agree, I am the righteousness of God. I need you to say that one more time. I am. But the time that really matters is when you do something that's not righteous and you have the mitigated gall to open your mouth and say, in the middle of that, I'm still the righteousness of God. That's when we know you believe it. I'm still the righteousness of God. Yeah, I fell, but while I'm getting up, I fell righteous. I'm getting up righteous. I'm standing up righteous because I was made righteous. Hallelujah. So when I got knocked down, a righteous man got knocked down, and a righteous man got back up, but that's got to be your foundation. I am the righteousness of God. Now, look at Romans 3. 21 through 22 in the NLT, Romans 3, 21 through 22. Now, watch this. But now, God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets. And he did that a long time ago. Verse 22, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. My faith is in Jesus Christ. My faith is not in my performance. My faith is not in my behavior. Now, I apologize for having to pause to say this, but you have to do this. You have to explain to people so, you know, they won't presume that, you know, that means something totally different, you know. Nobody's giving you the license to sin. Okay? All right, now, even if you do sin, he says, I'm not gonna charge that to your account. I'm not gonna charge that against you. But now what you still understand that there are consequences in this natural world that exist. Here's the benefit. It's like if you take an exam and I'm your classroom teacher and you were getting ready to graduate and you took the final exam and there's information in there that you need to know in order to be successful in what you're gonna do. All right, you flunked the exam, except I'm not gonna hold it against you. I'm not gonna count it against you. That's a blessing of the Lord. It's not being counted against us. But please, don't get so deep and dumb that you don't recognize there's still stuff in that test that you failed that you probably need to learn. You know, sometimes the mercy and grace comes and rescue you, and you think, well, you know, he rescued me, but I still don't need to deal with the consequences of how I behave. Your bad behavior can kill you. You'll go to heaven, but you're going to be dead. So this stuff about I'm under the grace of God and I can go and commit adultery, and that's some people who thought that. I can just go and sleep around and I can do that. You know, he won't hold it against you, but the natural consequences of your actions might. And your wife come in and catch you and Miss Kitty in the bed, and she pulled a gun out and said, oops. Bam! Ooh, there it is. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You're the righteous, but we want to dismiss consequences in the natural, and you keep going with that thing, and you holler, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm glad you're doing that, because I hope you believe that before the bullet reach you. I think y'all understand what I'm saying, right? And why you dying? I'm the righteousness of God. So this is not a heaven to hell issue. Heaven was already settled the day you got born again. But don't be enslaved. Don't be a slave to anything. It's not even right. Please understand what I'm saying. It's not a matter if this is right or wrong. It's a matter of, are you turning yourself over to enslavement? Well, hey, God mind you. Pastor Dick, I said this past week, he said, wine is something, but liquor is quicker. Yeah, he said, wine is fine, but liquor is quicker. And my thing is, are you going to be a slave to liquor quicker? Don't desire to be enslaved to anything. That's the issue. I want to give my whole life to God. I don't want to allow pieces of my life to be in bondage and in slavery to something else. Amen? Amen. Well, I ain't know all that. I don't know about it. Grace ain't what I thought it was. Yeah, it is awesome, and it gives you freedom. But do you understand that freedom has boundaries? So it says we're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. My faith is in Jesus, the person. Grace is a person. My faith is in Jesus. And this is true for everyone, watch this, who believes Jesus. No matter who we are. No matter who we are. I have faith in Jesus. I'm not talking about whether you agree or disagree with a doctrine or with a teaching or with. I'm talking about Jesus. Do you believe Jesus? Yes, I'm the righteousness of God. Because I'm not righteous by my own. It's the difference between self-righteousness and the righteousness we have by faith in Jesus Christ. There's righteousness that you get by performing. Well, I'm righteous because of my performance, okay? And then there's the righteousness you get without your performance, but your simple belief and faith in Jesus Christ. We are righteous with his righteousness. So self-righteous or God righteous is a choice. All right, and most of the church over the years I don't know if, I'm sure they knew it, but maybe they didn't, have been really working for self-righteousness. Do good, get good. Self-righteousness. I'm good because I did good, okay? Self-righteousness. We're not talking about self-righteousness. We're talking about righteousness through our belief and faith in Jesus Christ, the righteous, who made us righteous with His righteousness. I have been declared righteous. Amen? Now, God's righteousness is given to us as a gift. And like any gift, you have to decide to receive it. Like any gift, you have to decide this is not something earned. This is not something deserved. This is something received. Okay? And so that's what this is. Righteousness is a gift received, not earned. It's amazing to me. We can hear this, and then as soon as something comes up in our life, we're trying to earn it. We're trying to do something to feel more righteous or to be more righteous instead of just being righteous because it's a gift and I received that gift. I am the righteousness of God. Since I've understood the grace of God, I understood how important it is to bring a series to you at least once a year on the righteousness of God because, man, I tell you what, the enemy is after your foundation. Are you listening to me? He's after your foundation. Look at Psalms 11 and 3 in the King James. He's after your foundation. The foundation of the house is the most important part of the house. If there is a crack in your foundation, and if you allow your foundation to be toyed with religion and stuff like that, if the enemy can get your foundation, and one day you stay up and you say, I don't believe I'm righteous, I'm telling you, the house falls. Psalms 11 and 3 gives us a reminder. He says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so I give you an illustration of two houses. Two houses can look the same. The same kind of windows, the same kind of doors, the same kind of roof. But one was built on sand and the other one was built on the rock. Follow me carefully. When challenges come, only the house built on the rock will stand, and challenges are going to come. It shouldn't be whether or not challenge is going to come. Challenges are going to come. If those of you who live godly shall suffer persecution, in this world you will have tribulation. Challenges are going to come. You need to prepare for challenges. Like in the natural, some people prepare for a hurricane that's on its way. Challenges are going to come. But when challenges come, only the house built on the rock will stand. And let me say this, Jesus is the rock. Okay? All other foundations are sinking or shifting sand. Jesus is the rock. Our whole life and our grace life has to be built and sustained and settled on Jesus, who is the rock. Jesus. You know, you can go in some churches and never hear the name of Jesus mentioned. All kinds of wonderful principles, but never hear the name of Jesus mentioned, as if those principles you came up with are better without Jesus. That house is going to fall. I don't care how awesome the principles you heard, but if it's not on Jesus, let me show you something. Go to Matthew chapter 16. And let's start at verse 13. I'm going to try to go through this. We may get stuck here. I don't know. But, dude, I'm good. All right, now, I want you to just follow me as I take you through these few verses here. Jesus is the rock. Say that out loud with me.
Jesus is the rock.
So my righteousness is on that foundation. My righteousness is that foundation of Jesus. Jesus the righteous who made me righteous. That's my foundation, all right? So you know the enemy is going to always be trying to attack that foundation of your righteousness. All right, now watch this. This is so cool. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? This is interesting. Jesus said, who do they say I am? Not because he was needed their validation. He's like, who do they think I am? And he goes, verse 14, he says, they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias, some say you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? You've been with me. Who do you think I am? All right, now watch this very carefully. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, you say, what are you doing that for? You think he just said that? It came out of his mouth before his brain could gain concept of what came out of his mouth. What he said came out of his mouth came straight from God out of his mouth. Yes, sir. How do you know that? Well, look at this. Next verse. And Jesus answered and said, now, wait a minute. Go back to verse 16. Simon Peter answered, we know the question, who do you think I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And watch this, next verse. And Jesus answered. All right, what did he answer? What was it? What was he answering? We know the question, first of all, but then it comes in verse 17, and Jesus answered. What was he answering? He was answering Simon's surprise. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Son of the living God. What's that? And Jesus answered. What did I just say? And Jesus answered. Somebody said, how can you say that? No, I'm going to show you. We know Jesus answered. He answered something. I mean, he just didn't go get an answer. It's just like me coming up to you and say, yeah, tomorrow at 5 o'clock. You're like, I ain't saying nothing to you. What you talking about? Yeah, next week. He looking like something going on with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Now, he's talking to Simon, he's talking to Peter, but he wasn't known as Peter then. He was known as Simon Barjona, or the son of Jonah. For flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee. So I'm going to tell you what just happened when out of your mouth flowed, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That didn't come from you. That didn't come from the acrobats of your mind. That didn't come from Sunday school quarterlies. What just came out of your mouth wasn't revealed by flesh and blood or your intellectual part. It didn't come out of that. It came from the Father who revealed it unto you. He said, this was by my Father which is in heaven. You got revelation of who he was from heaven. Heaven said, you think he's just a prophet. You think he's Jeremiah. You think he's all these folks, but I'm telling you who he is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter said, ooh, where'd that come from?
Do you know who you are? It's a question the world often struggles with, but God's Word provides the answer for His children. In Creflo Dollar's two-message series, Understanding the Foundation of Righteousness, you can uncover the foundation on which to build your life so that your identity is secure. Download a digital copy today for a love gift of $6 or more. Simply scan the QR code, call the number on your screen, or visit CreflodollarMinistries.org and click eStore.
Are you ready to finally shed your mask, the heavy burdens, the expectations, and be the real you? This isn't just a conference, it's a movement. Join us for Taffy Dollar's 2025 Women's Conference, March 20th to 21st, where bold, unapologetic women gather to spark change, boundaries, and redefine the future.
And we're not trying to convince somebody of something that we're not, because we're so secure in Him.
This is your opportunity to rise, to take your rightful place, to be acknowledged, celebrated, and empowered as the real woman you are.
Because discovering our identity in Christ can be freeing if for too long we've felt confined or constrained by what others think of us or what they expect of us.
Taffy Dollar's 2025 Women's Conference. Because the world needs the real you, now more than ever. Register today.
The Bible teaches us to give generously with a cheerful heart, not out of necessity, but out of a cheerful heart. And that's why I'm so grateful for the friends and partners of this ministry who freely and cheerfully give financial offerings to support us. You understand our vision. You know that when people understand grace, they're empowered to change their lives for the better. Thank you for supporting us with your financial donations. And every time you give, you're being used by God to stop misfortune in someone else's life. And for that, we say thank you. God bless you.
If you want to honor the Lord by sowing financial seeds into Creflo Dollar Ministries, call the number on your screen or log on to CreflodollarMinistries.org.
I don't ever want to take for granted that you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And there's no better way to embark upon a new stage in your life than to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus. So if you want to become born again and begin an exciting, intimate relationship with Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with me, and I'll say it so you can repeat after me. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He died and was raised from the dead and has forgiven all of my sins, and I receive Him into my life right now as my Lord and personal Savior. So by faith, I declare that I am saved. Praise God. Now, that simple prayer changed your entire eternal destination. And we want to welcome you to the family of God.
Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.